Revelation 18 is a declaration of the fall of Babylon. Not the actual city of Babylon, but Babylon as a figure of idolatrous religion. The religion of works, the religion of free will and decisionism. Religion of self-righteousness. Men trying to make for themselves a way into heaven. In Revelation 17, the name written upon the forehead of the great whore of religion is Mystery Babylon. It's a mystery to this world. They don't understand and just cannot believe that the overwhelming majority of religion in this world is Antichrist. You say that among religious folks and they'll look at you like you're from another planet. They'll look at you like you're some kind of a cult. But here it says, upon her forehead was this name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great. He says the great because it's not a small minority, but it's the majority. The mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And God spoke of her fall back in Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51 in great detail. If you care to read it this afternoon, you'll see in there where he talks about that. And he was so adamant about her judgment that he caused his prophet to pen an entire book declaring her fall and demise. And then when he'd finished the writings and they'd finished reading those writings to the people, God told his prophet to take a stone and bind it to the book that he'd written and go out there at the bank of the Euphrates River and toss it in. Now, if you will recall our former studies where I mentioned to you that there was a river that flowed in to the Garden of Eden, and when it left the garden, it branched off into four different rivers. One of those was the Euphrates. And this river is the river of God's redemptive purpose. It flowed into the garden and branched out of the garden and flowed to the uttermost parts of the earth. And everything on this earth in time is made to drink from those rivers, that river of God's purpose. And here he takes her demise. He takes the book of his declaration of her demise and he binds to it a stone and he tosses it in the river of God's purpose. God's purpose is that she be no more. And that's what he declares to her. So what's being shown us here is that the word of God, which is declaring the sure defeat and judgment of Babylon, is fixed in the eternal purpose of God. Now, what is this stone bound to the word of God, which the prophet took and tossed into the river? What is this stone? Well, this stone, I believe, to be a sure token of God's judgment of Babylon is nothing more than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the stone. To the believer, he's precious. He's a precious cornerstone. God took that stone that the builders disallowed and he made it the head of the corner. And to the believer, he's precious. He's the precious cornerstone. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner and a stone of stumbling. And a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient. Peter said, whereunto also they were appointed. There is a rock, the rock Christ Jesus, upon which the Lord shall build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But this rock also, having borne our sins in his own body on the tree, is a guarantee of the present and future judgment of all that believe not. He that believeth not shall be damned. On whomsoever, this is what our Lord said in Matthew 21:44. On whomsoever this stone shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And God bound his word to his son in such a way that his name is declared to be the Word. He is the Word. He is the eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And not only the salvation of God's elect, but also the judgment of God. He is the Word. In John 5:22, he said, "For the Father judgeth no man. He's committed all judgment unto the Son." When we're talking about the judgment of Babylon, we're talking about something which will be performed by the Son, whom they rejected, whom they despised, whom they hated. In verse 27 of John chapter 5, he said, "He hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." He's the mediator. He's the one mediating the will of God. He said, "The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Them that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and them that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." But they're all going to hear his voice, and he'll be their judge. In Revelation 18:21, we have a vision of a mighty angel taking up a stone like a great millstone and casting it into the sea. And the throwing of this great stone into the sea, to picture this. He said, "Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all." Right now, Babylon sits where all can see her, and we all can find her. You can't go anywhere without seeing her house. Did you know that? You can't go anywhere. I have a store 2 blocks from my house. I can't go to the store without seeing her house. She can be found anywhere. Her house is on every corner in every city throughout the world. She boasts herself the friend of the weary, the hand stretched out to strangers, having food for the hungry, hospitals for the sick, schools for the ignorant, home for the homeless. And this religion, which is so easy to find, easy is their, that's their word, easy. That's what describes them best. Easy. Everything with them is easy. Easy. Easy believism. That's what they preach. And religion, which is so easy to find, shall not be found at all. Nothing shall be left but the smoke of her burning. Revelation 18:22. Now watch this. Here's some more about her judgment. "And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in her." In her. They're going to be heard, but not in her. The first thing come to my mind when I heard that was the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. These great choirs, world renowned. All the so-called gospel quartets. When I was a kid growing up, you could turn the TV on Sunday morning and that's all you could find was gospel quartets. All the music which has such a draw and effect on people, all the rhythmic, sensual, hypnotic sounds, all gonna be gone. All gonna be gone. Now there's nothing evil about music. We sing hymns. We have people play specials for us from time to time, guitars and piano and such. There's nothing evil about music except how and why it is played by evil men. But in the hands of them of the synagogue of Satan, music is as deadly as their message. Their music is called, here in this verse, the voice. The voice. You say a guy plays a harp, there's no voice. Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. He calls it the voice of harpers, musicians, pipers, trumpet players. Music, under the influence of Satan, lulls men into a false sense of fellowship with God. Clap their hands now. They do this to the music. Pretty soon the whole audience. You ever watch these false prophets on TV and see that big crowd out there? You watch what happens when they play the music. They're all into the music. Everything. Hands up. I have personally testified myself when I was in religion. I have personally testified of meetings where the music was so sweet. So sweet that I believed and confessed that the Spirit of God was there, based on nothing but the music. I didn't understand what the man said. I didn't know anything at all about the preaching of the gospel being the power of God unto salvation. I didn't really understand the scriptures that he quoted or the message that he preached. But just the music. And I said, boy, you should have been there last night. The Spirit of God was in that. Why? Because of the music. And here our Lord said, their voice ain't going to be heard anymore. In her. Babylon shall not be found. Their music shall not be heard. He said that's going to be heard no more at all. Not at all, not in the distance, not by a few, not at all. And then thirdly, Revelation 18:22, he says, no craftsman, of whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in her. Not going to be found. What's the first thing that comes to your mind in modern day when you think about what he's talking about here? First thing popped into my mind was the Crystal Cathedral out in California. A work of architecture. Beautiful, beautiful building. The National Cathedral. What about the Vatican? The Sistine Chapel? You can go on and on and on throughout the world. Some of the most noted architecture in this world is in false religion. And again, I say there's nothing wrong with being a craftsman until he puts and uses his talent toward idolatry. Isaiah said, the smith with the tongs works in the coals. And the carpenter stretches out his rule and maketh it with a line. And the residue thereof he uses to make himself a god, a graven image. And he falleth down before it and worshipeth it. And he prays to it for deliverance. And then he puts it on his back, his god. He puts it on his back. And he carries it off and stores it in a safe place. He said they lavish gold out of a bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith to make them a god, and they bear it on their shoulders, and they carry him and set him in his place. It is the craftsman, the artist, the architect, and the smith that are used by Satan to build his synagogues and leave men in awe of their beauty. That's why they go in. Wow, what a place. Look at this place. You walk in and you're just in awe. You're in awe when you see it from the outside, and you walk in and the awe goes even deeper. And you look at those stained glass windows, and you look at those, the way they shape everything in there, and these statues and all of these images and crosses and all of this stuff. Who you think does that? Craftsmen. Craftsmen. Well, who pays them to do it? Huh? The great whore. And that's why they mourn her death when she's gone. Images so countless they can't be named. But not in that day. He said, no craftsman shall be found anymore in Babylon. And then fourthly, Revelation 18:22. The sound of the millstone shall be heard no more in thee at all. If I had one word to describe my former experience in religion, it'd be the word busy. Busy, busy, busy. I love how Paul said this, and he knew it. He knew it by experience. He was raised in it, just like I was. He said they're going about. Just going about. Look like a bunch of ants. They're just going about. What are they doing? They're trying to establish a righteousness and will not submit unto the righteousness of God. They're busy. They're busy. Every day busy. Busy tearing down and busy building back and busy going here and there. And so many meetings and activities, you hardly have a day for yourself. And then think about this. This millstone represents the maker of our daily bread. Our daily bread. Babylon is the source of this world's bread. And the destruction of Babylon is the destruction of the world. She's the center of all economic, political, and philosophical ends. Everything revolves around her. And the more I study the scriptures, the more I understand what this world is all about. Listen to these scriptures. John said, and we know that we are of God. He's called us out of darkness into his light. We know this. We know this. We believe the record that God gave of his son. We've trusted on his son. We know that we are of God. And here's what else we know. The whole world lieth in wickedness. All of it? All of it. He said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. All of these things in the world are not of the Father. They're not the gifts of God to you. He tells us if we were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Listen to this one. He was in the world. Who was? The Word, the eternal Word. Without whom was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world knew him not. And then listen to this. He said, this is the condemnation of God. You want to see the judgment of God? You want to know where the judgment of God? People say, well, you talk about the whole world being judged of God. I don't see where you get that. Here's where I get it, right here. John chapter 3, I believe it's verse 19. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and the world loved darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That's the judgment. And what is the definition of an ungodly life? Paul said it's walking according to the course of this world. And then the scripture said, Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And what of the false prophet? The scripture said, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Do you see what he's talking about here when he's talking about it's the world, the whole world. The sound of the great millstone shall not be heard no more at all in thee. Revelation 18:23. Here's the next thing. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. No more light in Babylon. God's going to snuff out all his candles. No more light at all. Even the artificial light of a candle shall be snuffed out. And how many candles have been burnt in the name of religion? Oh, my soul. In the movies and in just events that the news promotes and shows around 5 and 6 o'clock at night, you sit there and watch them, and it's not going to take very long before they're going to show you the inside of a cathedral with all the candles burning. They're all lit for the dead. How many candles have burned to set the emotions of men on fire and to give an experience where no experience was ever given? But no more. Not so much as the light of a single candle shall shine in thee anymore. Her day of light is over. It's over. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all, he said. In thee. Not going to be heard. Our Lord said, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Look back at Revelation 18:23. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. I was standing in line at Walmart or Kroger's. I don't remember where it was. We were at both. And there's magazine racks there. So you stand in line, you're looking at all these magazines. And Newsweek featured a big picture of Billy Graham. And here's the title at the bottom of the page, America's Man of God. And what is Billy Graham except a false prophet? Asked point blank by a news representative in an interview whether or not he preached Calvinistic doctrine. He said, yes, I did. Yes, I did. Well, she said, you don't preach that doctrine now. Oh, no. And she said, well, why not? He said, because I found out it was ruining my ministry. Well, I tell you, if you've got a ministry, preaching the gospel will ruin it. They'll despise you. They'll put you out of the building. That's what our Lord said to his disciples. They'll put you out of their synagogues. You ain't going to go in their synagogues and preach this message. You might one time, but then they'll put you out. For thy merchants, Revelation 18:23, were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. False religion is here described as a sorcery. A sorcery. In Galatians 3:1, Paul said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who has performed this so-called magic that's drawn you away from the grace of God? And I'm telling you, religion is sorcery. It's nothing more than witchcraft practiced in the pulpit of the average church. That's all it is. It's demonic witchcraft. She casts her spell on men, and they do her bidding. Let me ask you a couple questions. How else can you explain their rebellion of a gospel read from the Word of God and explained in the simplest of terms? How else can you explain their immediate rejection of it who have never studied the Word of God? Sorcery. Sorcery. How else can you explain their immediate rejection of the truth demonstrated in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ? Light came into the world. Demonstrated light. Right before their eyes, right in their presence. Miracles performed by Christ, God confirming him as his own son. Right before their eyes. And yet they preferred a murderer to him. You got some other explanation for that? That's sorcery. By her sorceries. Now watch this. Were all nations deceived? Not one or two people. Entire nations. All right, verse 24, Revelation 18. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Our Lord said to the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23:33, he said, "You serpents," that's what he called them, serpents, "you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. And some of them you're going to kill, and some of them you're going to crucify. And some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city." Why? That upon you, now listen to this, may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. All the blood going to come upon you. In her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. And our Lord said to his disciples, "The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he does God a service." I vision the Apostle Paul at the stoning of Stephen. Man of God. A Pharisee. In fact, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was at the top of his class. And he stood there and he held the clothes of them who stoned Stephen, and the whole time he was saying, "Amen, amen." Huh? False religion is not just refusing to believe the truth or rejecting a point of doctrine. It's identifying yourself with the Antichrist and taking upon yourself the blood guiltiness of every saint that was ever slain, and of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, when Israel cried out at the preaching at Pentecost, and they cried out, "What shall we do?" They cried out because Paul showed them, or Peter showed them, under the power of the Holy Spirit, that their fingers were dripping with the blood of the Son of God. And they said, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We killed the Son of God. We killed the Son of Man. We killed the Lord Jesus Christ." This is the sure judgment of Babylon and Babylonian religion. And it's so signified by the great millstone, K. cast into the sea. May the Lord help us all to see it and recognize it and treat it just that way. Thank you.